Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. I'm continuing my conversation with Mary Basmajian, also known as a funny Armenian girl. She has a wonderful Instagram feed where she expresses herself in diverse characters. She's a social commentator, social critic, and in my opinion, very much a genius in her creation of characters that both celebrate and at the same time push the boundaries of Armenian traditions. Mary, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me. You're too nice.
No, I mean, I really think that Tzotza Vartuş, one of your characters, I grew up having a lot of tzotzas because in my household, everybody spoke Russian. And if there was an older gentleman, an older lady that were friends of our parents, they were always addressed as Zaza X or Zoza X. Mary, you in middle school discovered that a comedy is something that you enjoy. You also realized that comedy is something that fends off bullying and actually gains access to places that you didn't have. You also grew up with a maternal and paternal grandparents that were, though they were very traditionally Armenian, they allowed you or they encouraged you to question and wonder about the boundaries that the tradition have given. Am I correct in that statement? Would you agree with that, or would you like to elaborate on that more?
I believe my paternal grandmother was definitely the one that taught me to question things a little more. They were all four of them were great, and they were very traditional. But I believe my paternal grandmother, Mari, she was more of the she would be the more intrinsic one. Like, she was more the one to tell me to question things and to do things her own way. She liked tradition, and she did believe in keeping tradition, but she also believed in new, like learning new things, learning about other cultures, and especially being here in America. I feel like, especially in the Los Angeles bubble, Armenians tend to stay within their community and they keep on to their, you know, traditions and cultures, which is great, but they also, you know, hold on to other things that I just feel like would be a lot better if they were to maybe go outside their bubble a little and, you know, explore a little bit about how other people are living and maybe bring that back to their families. And I think that's what my paternal grandmother Mari did.
Sort of the allowed the evolution of traditions, you know, traditions that may have worked in the 18th, 19th, 20th century may need a few amendments in the 21st century.
Right.
Tell us a little bit, introduce to us a little bit about how Tzotza Vartuş, for our listeners who are not familiar with the word Tzotza, it's the Russian word for ant. And Mary has created this character that is very empathic, sympathetic. She has a very big mouth. She's very opinionated. And at the same time, she is very outwardly bougie and very much a typical aunt that you would see in any Armenian gathering. Tell us a little bit about the evolution of Vartuş, please.
Vartushtota kind of started, actually, she started as a little bit more judgmental. Like, I was doing Instagram videos back when it was 15 seconds, and I didn't have a wig at first, so I would just put on like a jacket or like whatever on my head, like to pretend it's hair or whatever. And I would make like these little short videos about this Armenian woman judging me because I don't want to put on makeup, or I'm not losing weight, or that was a really big one, or other traditional things that like Armenian women would tell the younger women. And but from there, I realized like everybody really liked this character, and I did too. But as she morphed and as she evolved, I wanted to bring the juxtaposition of her being more modern, her like being dealing with more non-traditional topics and things like that. But she did start off very much like one of my mom's friends or even my mom. But the character itself is kind of a mixture of my dad, honestly, and my grandmas and some of my aunts and other Armenian women I've encountered in my life.
The interesting thing about the Zota Vartush that I have noticed and I really adore is that she is very much an Armenian, and she mm-hmm. is very much a Armenian that like most of us Armenians, we have grown up in small Armenian communities where, you know, neighbors judge you. Neighbors are very much aware of what you do, and you know, we are always living our lives very much conscious of what everyone else is thinking or doing. That's how it was in Tehran, Iran. That's how it was for me when I lived in Glendale. That's one of the reasons I left Glendale, and I couldn't see myself living there. But she's empathic. She's empathic, she's wise, but she hasn't lost any of her Armenian sassy, judgmental nature. Would you
say? Right. Yeah, that's exactly correct.
And that that's where I think your genius is, personally, because I think she is a true Armenian. But one might say that she is a little bit more enlightened.
Yes. Yes. I wanted to do that because I wanted to use this character as a vessel to kind of open it up to our, either to my generation or to the older generations, that it's okay to explore non-Armenian things or to explore some non-traditional things, just kind of like what, my paternal grandmother, Mari, was very curious about other cultures or other non-traditional things. And I wanted to kind of open it up and show that you can be very Armenian, but you can also explore other things. Because we do here, we do, after all, live in the diaspora. And I understand that on the East Coast, maybe it's not as heavily populated as Glendale is right now. But Glendale is absolutely, like Glendale, Hollywood, North Hollywood, Burbank, it's a lot of Armenians. So it's, we hold on to a lot of things, and we only kind of like keep it within our community. And I just wanted Armenians to maybe get a picture of one of their own that maybe like looks like them and sounds like them, can explore some other things that are not Armenian or things that are like not traditional. Like lately she's been, Vartushtota has been talking about like power of now, or like living in the moment and living in the present, which is Armenians do not do.
Like, I have no idea of that, 100%.
We are either depressed and living in the past, or we are living with anxiety and we're living in the future. Like we're wondering what's going to happen, what's going to do this and all that stuff, you know, just like, you know, other people do too. But I think Armenians really, they love living in the past, which I did too, until, you know, I learned about power now.
I think there's a reason for that, because I think we've had to fight for our own existence.
Right. Exactly. So that's one. And the recognition of our genocide.
That's right. And one of the things that I, how do I want to put this in words? When you say about traditional Armenian, you know, like a woman living on her own and not living at home, or even a guy living who's not married, doesn't live on his own, lives with his parents. I mean, I remember when my mother and I, we were living together, she was hurt. She was physically hurt that I would do my own laundry. I'm like, Mom, I'm a 30-year-old man. I've been doing my laundry since 16. You know, I feel weird you're doing my laundry. But what I think is adorable about Armenian mothers is that her hurt was so visible. Like, how do you do that? But if you are a gay man, or if you are a woman that is attracted to another woman, Armenian culture, Armenian tradition doesn't have the vocabulary for introducing that. And I think you, through Vartush, who exemplifies an Armenian aunt in every Armenian's life, you see her empathy and acceptance towards these non-traditional Armenian facts of life.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to your Instagram page where you were saying, wait a second, we're thousands and thousands of years old. I mean, there must have been some guys that lived with guys, or some women that lived with men. So but why is it that Armenians don't accept that? You know?
We're very traditional, and I think the country itself leans on more conservative views and values and things of that sort. We also we were also the first Christians in the world, and I believe Christianity and the Armenian culture are very intertwined. And I do believe that a lot of Armenians consider their Armenian identity same as their Christian identity. It's not separate for them. It's the same.
Yes, and I would venture out to say that those identities are cemented together really strongly because of our fear of our own existence.
And correct.
But what I mean by fear, our fear of losing the right to exist as a group of people.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Because, and especially with, you know, with the recent wars that were going on and everything, Armenia, for those of your listeners that may not know, Armenia is landlocked and it is surrounded by countries that are not Christian, and we have a long history of fighting for our lives and fighting for our existence, like you mentioned. So I do believe that's where it comes from as well. And I think that might be the root, or that might be part of the issue, that Armenians may not have a vocabulary for more non-traditional Armenian lifestyles or anything of that sort.
Right. I tend to agree with you on that. We have a couple minutes for this segment. And one of the things that I wanted to say about your accuracy of Zoza Vartush, making sure that the labels of her scarf and her jewelry, that bouginess. And I think that I want to say something and see if you agree with this or not. You know, when I moved to New York in 1990s, there were a lot of Soviet immigrants that I taught English to. They were educated engineers, doctors, because of perestroika and openness of the Soviet Union, they came here. And I would go to dinner gatherings or lunch gatherings with them, and I would see that they would have jewelry, or the men would have suits, but the labels would be on that. And I thought, at the time, I didn't understand. you know? But now I understand that they wanted to show that they have, you know, sort of succeeded in America, or they have worked hard and they can buy an expensive suit, and they want to know the value of that. And I think that doesn't say very much about them as much as it says about the USA, how the USA is perceived from the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
That you can get anything and everything that you want here.
Right.
Do you think Vartush, I mean, is that one of the reasons Vartush is wearing all of her labels?
I'm trying to recall as to how it started. I do remember I leave the labels on, or the tags, because growing up, I've seen mom, aunts, grandmas always returning things even after they wore it. And it was like, oh, I have to be able to return this type thing. But I'm noticing more and more what you're saying is correct as to like showing the value of things that they're able to get now. And with Vartush, she definitely wants people to know that she is able to afford this fine jewelry, but that she has the option of returning it if and when she wants.
Which I think is lovely, because you go to the pool, Vartush goes to the pool, and she puts a plastic bag around her necklace.
Right.
Because she will most probably return it.
Right.
Mary, we're coming to an end for this segment. Such a pleasure. I hope you will stick around so we can do one more quick segment together.
Absolutely. Thank you
for tuning in, everyone. This is Serge from Serevan Restaurant and Flavor Matters, and I've had the pleasure of speaking with the Armenian artist, comedian, and writer Mary Basmajian, who's joining me from Pasadena, California.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Serevan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Serevan Restaurant in Armenia, New York, serevan.com on the web.